Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, where late Wednesday night, the U.S. Senate passed the House-approved stopgap government spending bill that avoids a last-minute crisis at the end of the week.
On this vote, the yeas are 87, the nays are 11. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
Allowing Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to announce,
I have good news for the American people. This Friday night, there will be no government shutdown.
The bill keeps some government agencies funded into January, others into February. Near San Francisco, President Biden tries to improve frayed U.S.-Chinese relations. And after talking to Chinese President Xi Jinping for hours, the president announces,
we're reassuming military-to-military contacts, direct contacts. As a lot of you press know, follow this, that's been cut off, and it's been worrisome. That's how accidents happen, misunderstandings. So we're back to direct, open, clear, direct communications on a direct basis.
Those communications cut off when the U.S. shot down the Chinese spy balloon that had flown over much of the U.S. mainland. Overseas Israeli forces have now occupied Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, insisting Hamas militants are using that facility as a base of operations, although providing no proof so far. Correspondent Deborah Pata is in East Jerusalem.
At some point, they will try and evacuate, but how they do that, it's going to take a lot of planning. It's going to be very, very difficult, and they're very worried. At the moment, doctors inside, I'd say they're losing around 5 patients a day.
Back here in Washington, there was a Mideast war-related protest outside Democratic Party headquarters. Police report confrontations, injuries, and at least one arrest. WTOP's Dimitri Sotis.
Police say 6 of their officers were treated for injuries. Some were pepper sprayed or punched. One person was also arrested for assaulting an officer. Members of Congress were evacuated from the area earlier. The protesters included people with If Not Now and Jewish Voice for Peace, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. They insist they were peaceful. They are accusing the police of violence.
SpaceX is now clear to make a second attempt to launch its Super Heavy Starship rocket from Texas. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
It's been nearly 7 months since the first Super Heavy Starship test flight ended in a spectacular failure. Since then, SpaceX has made hundreds of modifications and improvements, and they've met all the requirements set by the Federal Aviation Administration. So with an FAA launch license finally in hand, SpaceX hopes to launch the rocket on the program's second test flight Friday morning.
Checking gasoline prices, they're still inching down about a penny a day. AAA's national average, $3.35. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a run on new opportunities for high-speed internet in rural Wisconsin. The state has $42 million worth of grants to give out, but the number of applications it got asked for more than 221 million. More than 251,000 locations in Wisconsin still lack service, and about as many have internet that's below current standards. The Public Service Commission will now start poring over the applications. People who help their older and disabled loved ones at home for no money are asking for help from the state of Wisconsin. Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin.
Each year, Wisconsin's unpaid family caregivers provide about 538 million hours of care to their parents, spouses, and partners, and they do it for no pay.
A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work with caregivers to make sure they're getting what they need. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win in Toronto. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had one of the worst losses of the season a few weeks ago in Toronto. That changed tonight with a 128-112 victory over the Raptors. Big night for Damian Lillard. He ended up leading with 37 points. Malik Beasley scoring as well, having his best night of the season with 30 points scored. Now, the Bucks were without Giannis Antetokounmpo, who sat out due to a sore calf muscle, for Jay Crowder, out 8 weeks now after having that surgery yesterday for a groin injury. Marjon Beauchamp was roughed up. Malik Beasley spoke to Bally Sports Wisconsin after the game.
Jay Crowder, too. You know, we're still thinking about you, brother. We love you. Keep healing. And then, we just got resilience, man. You know, we're a deep team. I think that we want to be where we want to be.
And it was a big win for Bucks manager Adrian Griffin to beat the team he came from before he took over as the head coach of the Bucks. Beasley says he's looking forward to dinner on the coach.
It feels great to get a win from coach. Dinner's on him now.
That's the Bucks' Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 36. Overnight, under clear skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 64 tomorrow, partly cloudy. 41 tomorrow night, chance for scattered rain showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Delighted to have you along with us. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin on the board. Our colleague and producer at Civic Media, Anya Esther, is joining us. And you can always check in, too, if you like, at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Anya was at the really big March for Israel yesterday in Washington, D.C. Anya, you had a really late night. You got back after midnight at O'Hare, right?
That's right. Well, not O'Hare, but General Mitchell. We touched down late last night. We left from General Mitchell yesterday at 5 a.m., landed in Maryland, got on a bus, bussed our way into D.C. D.C. was incredible, and then back out all the way back to Milwaukee just before midnight. And then I thought I'd text you and say, you know what, Jane, I might sleep in. I might not see you in studio. Let me get that link. So that was my evening. Yeah.
What a day. My goodness. First of all, Anya, who did you travel with?
So I had the fantastic opportunity to travel with our local Jewish Federation, which is to say a group of Jewish people who got together and said, look, it is important that our community shows up for this. If you want to go, here is a subsidized rate for young professionals, essentially. So I traveled with 120 Milwaukee mostly, but also from all over Wisconsin, professionals aging from, I think, the youngest traveler with us was 9, and some of the folks with us were of an age where it would have been disrespectful to ask. So we had a wide variety of folks, and we also had folks, I should say, folks like me who are Reform Jews, which is to say, you know, practice is very relaxed, practice is very chill. We also had folks who had to delay boarding, not in a bad way, they just chose to get on after folks because it was time for morning prayer and that was uninterruptible. One of the guys I had the opportunity to interview said he'd never seen so many black hats and tattoos in one room before boarding with all of us. So that's who I traveled with. And then getting to DC, who I was with was incredibly 290,000 estimated attendees from all over America. People were talking about folks from the UK being there, other countries. It is insane.
Yeah. Some of the photos that I saw from yesterday, as you said, almost 300,000 people, and it was peaceful. There was no violence, at least not as of today. I haven't seen anything that there have been any reports of violence or anything. So that's good news. What, other than showing support for Israel, what was the message behind this march, Anya?
Right. The message behind this was that in the wake of the events since October 7th, the wake of the attack in Israel, anti-Semitism everywhere has spiked just to unprecedented numbers. The phrase that was used to discuss October 7th has been, you know, this was the deadliest day for, and every day since, we have seen levels of anti-Semitism events occurring, like the burning of a synagogue in Tunisia, the death of a Jewish protester in LA, in California. While these things are related to Israel, they are far more about the rampant anti-Semitism, the ways in which, unfortunately, a lot of people are using this opportunity or this occurrence as an opportunity to commit anti-Semitism. That was the message of this march. In addition to that, talking about still the 240 people who are being held hostage, there were mothers of hostages in attendance who spoke, including the mother of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, who is a young man, a leftist who was taken hostage. We know that he lost his arm that day, and we don't know that he has received medical assistance since being taken into Gaza. So all of these things were the topic, in addition to the topic of love for our community and growing that love in a time when there is growing hate, and saying we will always love each other and ourselves more than anyone can hate us for it. And it was like a breath of fresh air to be among so many people who were so diverse, so different. Yes, if we sat down and had long, long discussions, we would argue, but that's because we're Jewish. You know, that's family. That's what happens. But it was about, it's a time in all of this war, in all of this ugly violence, it is a time for love, and it is a time for taking care of each other. So, yeah.
And I assume it was people of all faiths that were in, not just people of the Jewish faith, but people of all faiths.
That's right. Some of the speakers were Christian activists, Muslim activists, as well. I know that the attendees came from a wide variety of backgrounds, not just the diversity of Jewish backgrounds, but the diversity of Christian backgrounds, Muslim backgrounds, a ton of atheists, I'm sure a ton of Buddhists and Baha'i folks. It was truly, truly an incredible display.
If you're just joining us, Anastasia Esther is our guest. She's our colleague here at Civic Media, producer for numerous programs, including the wonderful Maggie Dawn Show, which you can hear Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Anya was in Washington, D.C. yesterday among hundreds of thousands of people marching for Israel. We talked a little bit off the air, Anya, with this horrible situation between Israel and Hamas, and how sometimes, because you are Jewish and you are open about practicing your faith, people come to you and expect you to be able to answer on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. And can't you just, you know, call Bibi Netanyahu for me figure, you know, can't we?
Yeah, I got him on speed dial.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
But people do make that assumption that your opinion is going to be representative of all opinions, and that's just not the case.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. And it was that was a lot of the discussion yesterday, was how so many of us, the wide diversity of world Jewry, each of us had experiences of meeting someone who said that they'd never met a Jewish person. And now it was time for that individual, that one person, to answer the questions and do the education and be the voice. And here's a crowd of, like you said, not all of them are Jewish, but I, from what I've read, at least, or an estimated 100,000 of those were college students
Wow.
in attendance.
Wow.
So college students who are going to college in places across America, across the world, meeting someone who goes, "You are the first Jewish person I've ever met. Now it's time for you to explain."
Yeah.
And part of the fervor of yesterday was all of us going, "Oh, thank goodness there. I don't have to explain myself to anyone here. I know why you're mourning. I know why you're having a hard time. Let us just continue on with this day together and not have to think about all the explanations we've had to give in the previous days.
Well, and much like Christianity, there are different yes. sects of Judaism, right? Yes. You know, Christianity has
absolutely.
Evangelicals and Lutherans and Catholics and Unitarians, and Judaism also has its different breakdowns.
That's right, yes. And to talk about that a little bit, we did see kind of one of the stronger, one of the quite more obvious delineations in that difference in practices. You know, we had folks there who were ultra-Orthodox. Like I said, folks whose morning prayer, they were like, we will board in just one moment. We just have to finish this up. But there were also members of a group that I've discussed before named Naturi Karta, who are extreme ultra-Orthodox. They're part of a group known as the Satmars, which is like you have ultra-Orthodox and then within that a tiny group called Satmars and an even tinier group that is this Naturi Karta. For most people, you'd be familiar with Satmars. That's the the group that is shown in the Netflix show Unorthodox, where you have the young woman shaving her head before her wedding. And now everyone's like, Anya, when you get married, will you shave your head? And it's like, no, please, no.
Only if I
totally
want
different
to.
Thing. Only if I think it looks good with the dress.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But within that extremist group that some of America is familiar with from that show is a group named Naturi Karta, who was present not within the march, but outside. And that's really the only group that showed up and tried to be like, hey, this isn't right. And they had signs that said, like, authentic rabbis wouldn't support this. And then there's a couple hundred thousand, not a hundred thousand, but a couple thousand rabbis on the other side going, well, we support a wide variety of different things, friend, including each other. Yeah. So
I am baffled by that.
We all are. And I'll say this. Orthodox rabbis especially are very well spoken. And when you ask them something, they'll often pause to make sure that they have a good long answer that often has many more questions within it. When an Orthodox rabbi two rows behind me was asked about this group later, one of the people who was with us had no idea who they were. All I heard from the guy was, no, they're a whack job. So...
That's just
a very quick, I mean, coming from people who otherwise would give you about a 15-minute spiel on it. There you go.
It makes
We're
sense.
All baffled.
When you change the scenario, if you have people marching for, you know, peace and freedom and justice, you can have Christians standing outside and like, this is not America. You are not America. We right. are the ones who right. are America because we believe in X, right. Y, and Z, and we are also whack jobs.
Whack jobs, yeah.
If you have a question or a comment, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Again, keeping in mind that Anya is not here to speak on behalf of the government of Israel or Bibi Netanyahu or any of that. She was an attendee yesterday at a huge, huge, almost 300,000 people march for Israel yesterday in D.C. Can you stay with us through the break?
Of course. Yes, I'd love to.
Wonderful. Because I do want to talk. You had mentioned that among the speakers that you heard yesterday were some Muslims. And I would love to hear what message they had to share during all of this conflict and all of this death and all of this mess. It's just a mess. All right. We will be right back. I hope you will stay with us. 844-967-2789. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we are across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Shaw WAUK. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils Tuesdays at 7 on the Shaw 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, WAUK.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Natnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. Anya Esther, our colleague and fellow producer here at Civic Media, is joining us. And if you would like to watch on the stream, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can always check in, leave a call or a text at 844-967-2789. Anya, yesterday attended the March for Israel that was in Washington, nearly 300,000 people. And again, as of this morning, I haven't seen any reports of any violence or any incidents or anything like that. So that's always wonderful when you get a group together of that size. Anya, you had mentioned that among the speakers yesterday were some followers of the Muslim faith. Can you share some of what their messages were?
Yeah, so one of the phenomenal speakers, and I should say everyone who spoke was so moving and so great, but one of those speakers was Anila Ali. She's an American Pakistani activist and American politician, and her speech was a call for folks who are Muslim to examine if what they are participating in is freedom for Palestinians or if it is anti-Semitism. And a lot of her speech examined this idea, and it's something that I've spoken about on the Maggie Dawn show as well, this idea that there are many sides to this. A lot of people want there to just be two, but there are many sides to this. And there are people who are members of the Muslim faith who are choosing to engage in things that they believe to be anti-Zionism, engaging in things that they believe to be against the Israeli government as a way of protesting in favor of the Palestinian folks. But a lot of it, unfortunately, becomes anti-Semitism. For example, the burning of the synagogue in Tunisia, the folks who did that are claiming that they did it because, you know, this is what Islam would want and this is that and this is against Israel, when really, of course, it is just anti-Semitism. So she had a great quote from the Quran in her speech where she said, and do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Be just. That is nearer to righteousness. And that's Quran 5:8. So her speech was very moving and a very empowering call for something similar to what I've been discussing, which is folks who claim to be pro-Israel when really they are just Islamophobic. And they see this as an opportunity to engage in hatred against Muslim folks. This is, as I said earlier, how this march was also about confronting the anti-Semitism people have engaged in. She was also calling out rightfully and loudly the continued Islamophobia and the anti-Semitism happening in this. So that was very moving and very powerful.
That was something I wanted to bring up, and I was trying to find just the most correct, respectful words for it, because what I see are a lot of politicians who raise their fist in pro-Israel while not doing enough to delineate the difference between Hamas and men, women, and children in Palestine who just want to live.
Yeah.
And did you see that sort of support there as far as people saying, you know, for lack of a better term, we are all one, we are all love, we are all one people? You know, I mean, it's such a hard needle to thread.
Yes, it is. It is. And I will say outright, many of the speeches And I'll be, you know, I was running around with my camera, so I didn't listen intently to every single one. But many of the speeches, not just implied, but outright said, the Palestinian people deserve and need freedom. There are Palestinian people who are dying and suffering because of things that have nothing to do with them. That is wrong, period. So a lot of the speakers, several of the politicians, and the vast majority of attendees who I spoke to, that was their feeling. And tonight on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll have some more interviews that I conducted with folks in the airport on the way home. And many of them said the exact same thing. This has to be an equal response where we are helping, saving, rescuing the lives of the Palestinians who are in Gaza, who have been suffering for so long, in addition to everything else that is happening, in addition to the hostages being held by Hamas, in addition to all of this. We have to be vocal and we have to be present for the Palestinian people. I think the not caveat isn't the word, but the feeling that came with that was so many Jewish people feel that they have heard their friends speak on that side and not for the anti-Semitism that they've mm-hmm. experienced. And that is a feeling mm-hmm. that's not inherently a fact. But many of the people I spoke with more so wanted to express, we are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are hurt that we are not hearing people be in favor for peace for Jews as well. Yeah. And that was a lot of what we wanted to cover yesterday was, we must, because it is our community, be vocal for ourselves. If not us, who will? Mm-hmm. And in addition, all people should be safe. All people should be free. And specifically stated, the Palestinian people as well. So, yeah, I hope that kind of answers that.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Yeah. And as you said too, Anya, this is such a complicated quagmire that goes yeah. back decades and decades and decades. And the assumption that, you know, and that's why I think Greg and I have kind of avoided this subject, because it is so complicated and there's mm-hmm. so much nuance to it. And I don't want to step out and say, well, this is what I think they should do, because I don't know enough about the history of these conflicts and all of the different angles and nuances and players that have been involved in this again yeah. for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. And at the right. end of the day, for me, I want the Palestinians to have peace and a home. I want Israelis to have peace and a home. I want the politicians who are using this as ammunition yes. to be voted out, kicked out, whatever.
Yes.
And those who are combating innocent people to be brought to justice. And you yeah. only need to say that once, because after that, like yep. it's right. It's the nuance of it all. It's like, I don't know the foreign policy. I'm not going to get into it. And I feel like once yeah. you do that, people start screaming at you because you're not on their side. I'm like, well, yeah, right. okay, fine.
yeah, that's the feeling. And I will go into more of the nuance and things like this evening on Maggie Dawn's show, because I am solo hosting for her as she's dealing with Lord knows what, some lawyerly stuff beyond my pay grade.
so you're going to host tonight?
I am, yes, yeah. So I'm going to talk more about my experiences. I'm going to play some clips from some fantastic interviews I recorded. But Jane, I think your statement is right. There's a lot of people who don't know the players, who don't know the history, who are getting very vocal and saying what they think should happen. Yeah. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to come here. I'm not an expert on it either. I'm just one person who was there. But I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to folks and folks who want to hear more. Maggie Dawn tonight, 6 to 7. And yeah.
Anya Esther, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so very much. I'm glad you had a safe journey. And as she said, to make sure you join her tonight at 6 o'clock as she steps into the big chair for Maggie Dawn from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. Stay with us when we come back. The Holiday Folk Fair is this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park. We're going to talk about that. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. There will be no government funding crisis or shutdown at the end of the week. Following the House, the U.S. Senate passed a short-term spending extension with strong bipartisan support. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I am pleased that Speaker Johnson realized he needed Democratic votes to avoid a shutdown.
This bill keeps all government agencies funded into January, some a month later. Near San Francisco, President Biden reports on his talks with the leader of China.
Critical global challenges we face, from climate change to counter-narcotics to artificial intelligence, demand our joint efforts.
And this from China. A coal mine company building fire there has killed at least 25 people. In Israel, families of the hundreds taken hostage in the Hamas terror attack increased their calls on the government to get them back.
Many of these families are worried their government is prioritizing its military campaign over rescuing their loved ones.
Correspondent Deborah Pata in East Jerusalem. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is lifting lockdowns at state prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. Inmates have been confined to their cells for months because of safety worries and not enough guards. Inmates will soon get access to more prison programs, and some inmates in Waupun will be moved out. The governor says he's also keen on hiring more guards. Starting pay for those jobs went up to $33 an hour in the new state budget. More young people are taking part in Wisconsin's registered apprenticeship program than ever before. The paid training program combines on-the-job learning and education from technical colleges and private training centers. More than 16,000 apprentices are taking part. That's the highest number in the program's 112 years. Workforce development officials say the program is a way to bring job seekers and employers together. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 36 overnight, under clear skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 64 tomorrow, partly cloudy. 41 tomorrow night, chance for scattered rain showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Kelvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And also joining us in studio, delighted to have him here, the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, Paul Trevian. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
So nice to have you here. We're going to talk all things Holiday Folk Fair, which is this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park in West Allis. I love this event. It's been around for a very, very, very long time. What has changed? What's going to be new this year, Paul?
Well, the big news is it's 80 years of Holiday Folk Fair.
It's 80 years this year.
80 years.
Wow.
And International Institute of Wisconsin that hosts it has been around for 100 years.
That's great.
So this is absolutely wonderful to have the 80th year. And the theme for this year is celebrating the culture of traditional dress, which is real near and dear to my heart. So I'm real excited about that. That's a new thing that happens every year. We're also trying to make sure that we keep things familiar, you know, the footprint.
People have their favorite things, yeah. Right? You don't want to go start messing with things, and they're going to get very upset.
But at the same time, you know, as we go on in years, we'll get inclusive and take note of, like, what are some possible things, you know? So we'll take a look at that. But this year we're going to be very much the same, and I'm really looking forward to the traditional dress this year.
I highly encourage you to jump on the stream if you can, so you can check out what Paul is wearing, and he's going to explain it to us a little bit. But you can watch us on the live stream on Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube. So tell me, first of all, Paul, a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, I'll talk about the connection to IIW, International Institute of Wisconsin. I've been a board member for 10 years. And I stepped in as interim when we had a leadership transition, and then I threw my hat in and competed and became president in June. So I've been at the helm now for a little while, but I've been around with the Institute for quite a bit of time. And Holiday Folk Fair has always had a special place in my heart because it's a place where we can actually celebrate and do what I have, my personal mission, which is my mother always told me that we're supposed to let everybody know we're here. I'm a Tlingit Indian from Native Alaskan from Alaska, Southeast Alaska, around Juneau.
Okay.
And the regalia that I'm wearing right now is all about remembering in our culture. And so if you look at the headdress, there's like a fish, a stylized fish. That's actually represents an ancient shark symbol, shark clan. And then if you look at the back of my vest, which you can't see right now, you'll see eagle. And that's for Eagle House. And so the eagle in the front here on the bib also is more of a specially symbolized emblem for the tribe as well. So Shark Clan, Eagle House. And then my name is Long Seafaring Bird, and that's pronounced Khtekik. And so when you actually put that together, you mentioned your mother's name, and my mother's name is Little Eagle, Dot Kutiz. So the greeting is Khtekik Cha'ak Wushkitan Dot Kutiz Ayahat, which means I am Long Seafaring Bird, Eagle House, Shark Clan. My mother is Dot Kutiz. Now, when you say that in the culture, now they know exactly where I came from.
Okay.
And they know all about me because it's a matrilineal society. So I'm charged by my grandmother and my mother to let everybody know that we're still here. So that's the reason why you see the regalia. Now, another thing that's really special about this is that you noticed it. You actually asked about it. That actually honors my mother. So thank you very much. That gets me to the biggest word in Tlingit, which is thank you. And it's gunachish. Gunachish. So gunachish for honoring my mother. So.
You are most welcome. I'm just a nosy person, Paul.
Take the compliment.
Well, but I think sometimes people are hesitant to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to offend anyone. You mm-hmm. don't want, do you want me to notice that or should I not notice that? Yeah. Should I make a big deal out of it or should I not make a big deal out of it? And it's really beautiful, and I can't imagine the hours it takes to do the beadwork on something like that.
Oh, yes. My mother made all of it.
She did.
And it's a lot of love in here. And she was remembering her grandmother and her mom and when she was putting it together. And so a lot goes into it. Now, that's a great segue into like, why do we do holiday folk fair? The mission of the Institute is to promote education and understanding. Holiday folk fair is an extension of that, that we are bringing people together to educate them and allow people to celebrate heritage and culture and have a venue where you can feel comfortable to ask the questions, because people are in their booths celebrating their culture, their heritage, the traditional dress. They'll even talk language like I do. And then, of course, there's the dancing on the main stage. And, of course, you got to burn some calories, so you got to have food. And the food is absolutely wonderful there.
Paul Tribbian is our guest. We're talking about this weekend's holiday folk fair that's happening at the Wisconsin State Fair Park Expo in West Allis. He is the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, which runs the folk fair. Speaking of the food, and we've talked about this very often on this show.
We talk about food a lot.
We do. But just the importance of having a meal or sharing food with people who are different than you is one of the best ways to open doors. We all eat. We all, you know, we can all appreciate yummy things from each other's cultures. And I think that literally sets the table for different relationships.
Oh, yes. And that's one of the beauties of holiday folk fair. It allows us to have the venue for us to discover the similarities in our food and the differences. And so celebrating the differences, like, wow, I didn't know that would taste like that, or I have to have more of that. Next year, I'm going to come back for that. And they seek it out. And then sometimes there's stories behind the food, the way it's prepared. And then, of course, just the pure enjoyment of it. I mean, when I talk to people about holiday folk fair, the first thing they talk about is, like, oh, I remember going there as a kid, you know, through the school. We have an education day on Friday. And, I was there. I got naturalized. So we have a naturalization service, you know, on Friday.
How wonderful. Yeah. That must be so emotional.
It is. It really is. And this year we have 319 people are going to be naturalized at 2 o'clock on Friday. So this is a time for a celebration. It really is. And it's an accomplishment. It's the end of getting that naturalization done, but it starts another journey now, because you know you have another aspect to your life, another characteristic, another aspect that you can act upon. So that's why it's so special, and it's so neat to have that. So it's at 2 o'clock on Friday. But
and members of the public are invited to attend or no?
Yes, it is. It's limited seating.
Okay.
So it's primarily for the folks that are getting naturalized and they have
and
their
the families.
And so there's limited seating, but we do have dignitaries to come and observe and whatnot. So, but it's really neat to come there for the opening ceremony on Friday and then come every day, look at the dance groups. Feel free to ask the questions. I think that's what you brought up a good point, which is sometimes you do feel uncomfortable. Am I going to offend anybody? Well, this is a place to say, I love this. I wonder what this is about.
Tell me about it.
What do you call it? Like for me, the technical or the language term of the regalia is at'u, which is our art, which is what we use to communicate the history. If you remember, recall in some of your social studies as a kid, a lot of the native tribes didn't have written language. It was all oral.
Passed down to generations.
And so that's what we did. We told stories with our regalia. And so it's very, very important, the identity. And I think that as we discover other people's identity and their culture and their heritage, we start discovering like, hey, I have that too. And if your grandma is still around, you can ask your grandma now intelligent questions, you know. So that's wonderful.
You know, that's something I've thought about a lot in the past couple of years, is that, you know, when you, as you know, I come from immigrants down the line. My family comes from Poland and Germany, but at some point we lost our culture. We lost, and not to get too serious, but it's like the promise of being American was more important or easier than really holding on to the aspects of our culture, whether it be food, dance, language. My grandmother spoke fluent Germany because fluent German, but because of the war, she couldn't. And I just think of if we looked into our culture and studied just even the basic things, just like the food, the dance, the music, and appreciated that, it allows us to appreciate others who are seeking to protect theirs. Mm-hmm. It allows us to show empathy and allows us to show kindness and family to them, to say like, yeah, all of our cultures are important and we need to know them and understand them. And you have every right to know yours and understand yours. And it's important you do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love your account of that, because there are so many times where we get caught up in the modern age and it's important to look back, but instead of looking back and dwelling on the past, it's more about like, what can I discover of the past that is helpful and meaningful for today?
Sure.
And like you were talking about the values and what makes us who we are. And we take, when we discover somebody else and fellowship with them, become friends with them, you've probably noticed that we actually start becoming like our friends a little bit. And so we can adapt things and use that as a link, create linkage between groups. And I think that if we actually use that to find the commonality and celebrate those common things, but then take a look at our differences in the light of like, hey, let's celebrate our differences. Oh, maybe we could use our differences to solve problems together. And so we can use our culture to actually foster peace and understanding. So it begins with something really simple. Let's go to Holiday Folk Fair. Let's celebrate together.
Honestly, you mentioned it before, the kids thing. Like I went there, I think it was 3 years in a row with my grade in middle school. And, you know, it was, I mean, I remember having fun running around, seeing the colors and the people and the food and the smells and everything. And now it's like, I'm an adult. I'm like, I want to go back. I want to see and really take it in. So,
Paul, do you have, and I know this is like asking you to pick a favorite child, but what are some of your favorite foods that you've had at the Holiday Folk Fair over the years?
Oh man, I can't list them specifically because there's so many favorites, but I would have to actually say a category. The category is desserts. I always seek out the desserts. And part of the reason too is that in the past I would participate as one of the performers and dance. Well, I mean, when I'm dancing, I bring off sugar, so I go get some more.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's just absolutely wonderful, wonderful time. Sitting back and looking at the main stage, and then also they'll play like past performances in between, you know, that type of thing. And this year we have we're putting together a display of traditional dress as well. So we're working on that. So that's a little bit different, but. Getting back to the main theme, we did this in an inclusive manner, and people got excited when we were looking at the theme. And when it came up, traditional dress, I got so excited, because you've heard a little bit now of like, it's part of my own purpose is to remind people that we're still here. But what I found is that as I look at all the other cultures there, like the European cultures, they have a lot of embroidery, and it has a lot of meaning, family meaning.
Sure.
And I remember seeing children in a friendship circle where they put their hands together, and then you see all their embroidered sleeves, and it's just absolutely wonderful when you see that.
Well, we are just about out of time. It's this weekend, the Holiday Folk Fair Expo Center in West Dallas. What are the hours, Paul?
It starts at 10 o'clock most days, but 9 o'clock for Friday for the education day. And so come,
we'll get all the links in the show notes afterwards. It was delightful to meet you. Your costume is really beautiful, and we will love to talk to you more. Make sure you go to the Holiday Folk Fair this weekend. Again, we'll get it all posted in our show notes. Paul Trebian has been our guest. He is the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us when we come back. We're going to talk a little baseball with Mike Clemens from Civic Media.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Top U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in,
Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Buck with me in studio. Calvin is running the board, and you can always chime in. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Or you can join us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I did want to just share this one message from Linda Akola Atkins. We just had Paul Trebian on from the Holiday Folk Fair, which is this weekend in West Dallas. And she just said, great interview. Thank you. My culture is Swiss German, and nothing got passed down except for the recipes.
Hey, that's a start.
It is a start.
That's a great start.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to move on. Mike Clemens is our sports reporter at Civic Media, and there was some more baseball news this morning, Mike, right?
Yeah, but man, the folk fair is the best, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
My kids every year, oh, man, you know, it's great. Just sample foods from all over the world and then watch all of, you know, the dancers and the costumes and the customs from all around the world. It's a great escape.
Do you have a particular food that you can remember really enjoying, Mike?
Yeah, I go to the Middle Eastern countries often, you know, you know, things wrapped in grape leaves and that kind of thing. It's different, unique, and got pretty good taste to it. I don't think I've actually had a bad piece of food there. You know, you wander over into Germany, and that takes care of some of the desserts, you know. I can go on and on.
Yeah, that German food also just puts you to sleep.
Well, it's rarely light and fluffy, the German food, because I'm from a German background, too. So it tends to be a little bit heavier, but yummy nonetheless. All right, let's talk about Pat Murphy and the Brewers.
Okay, so Craig Counsell just drops a bombshell by saying, okay, I'm leaving the Brewers. And it wasn't for the Mets, it was for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so Mark Antanasio, I got on the teleconference that he had with just a few reporters. And, I mean, he was asked, the first question from one of the lead beat reporters from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So, Mark, your reaction after getting that phone call from Craig today. He said, well, you know, we employ 400 employees at American Family Field. We donate millions of dollars to, and he starts listing off these causes. It's like, he's reading this off a prep sheet, you know? It's like, dude, you just lost Craig Counsell to the Cubs. And so three or four questions later, we followed up, and you could tell he was shocked, shell-shocked, that Craig was in fact leaving, but also just going to a division rival. It's kind of exposed where the Brewers are a little bit. So I think he's trying to, you know, batten down the hatches and hang on. And so he hires the bench coach that Craig Counsell brought to Milwaukee, Pat Murphy. And Pat is going to be 65 later this month. It's a three-year deal, which that'll take him up to 68. It could be a great send-off as a retirement from his baseball career. They're also bringing in Ricky Weeks, the former infielder. He's now 41. I'd seen Ricky hanging around the facility like the last two seasons or so.
Oh, really?
And he's been like an assistant for player development. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the thing where, you know, you bring up a kid from the minors, so you get him an apartment, you show him the major league way, you know, the routine, that kind of thing. He's been named the associate manager. So there's a press conference tomorrow, and that'll be one of the first questions we'll have. It's like, So what exactly does that mean? You still want to be a development guy, or is this a training ground to be a manager someday? Who knows? They're keeping all the staff. So I think probably the way Mark operates, and Matt Arnold, the new general manager the last year or two, is they're saying to that whole staff, hey, stay here in Milwaukee. You know these players. Whoever wants to compete for this job, you know, when Pat retires, it's all yours. I think that's the dynamic the Brewers are going with right now.
I mean, is that a smart – I mean, I guess if he's got a three-year deal and he lasts all 3 years – isn't it make more sense then after that to maybe like look outside the organization for fresh eyes then? Because, you know, having come up under Craig Counsell is great because he knows the way Craig thinks. He can manage in a style that's the same but also bring his own style. But then you just kind of, at one point, want to pump some new blood into it.
From the outside, you're right. I think it looks stale.
Yeah.
From the inside, it's a panic move.
Gotcha.
And also, what they've already hired 4 or 5 other managers. I mean, the top of the board is already gone. That's what's amazing about all this. And so, right, and they, and you know that they're going to be losing players. Probably Corbin Burns.
Oh yeah.
You know, Brandon Woodruff had the surgery on the shoulder. He's out all next year. So they're going to be, you know, scrambling for that lineup. And I'm, as I say, I think the best thing Mark can do is and pitch to the fans is, look, we got to the playoffs. We don't want to change that group that got us to the playoffs, you know, minus Craig Counsell. So we're trying to do the best we can to keep what we got going until we figure out what's next.
I can say, though, as a fan, my thing is, that's great, but I want to see my team go beyond the first round.
I mean, sure.
I mean, like we were talking about this earlier, and I said, you know, I think it's a good thing. I do think it's a good thing for the for 1 year because, you know, it's he left, he's gone, so we gotta get someone in there and plan for a future that has a real rebuild now, because now we're going right back into a rebuild, and that's the terrible thing because I don't want us to suck, but it seems like we're not gonna be as great.
There will be some growing.
There will be adjustments.
Absolutely. And real quickly, Mike. So the stadium deal is pretty much done. What do you think?
You know, I haven't covered much of that, and those guys around the clubhouse did not talk about it as much. I'm kind of surprised by some of the people in Madison that were actually championing that cause, but it's one less thing for that franchise to worry about. But I'll tell you, Jane, maybe I'll come back sometime a little later, because that whole backstory, you know, Counsell said the other day he'd been thinking about this for the last 2 years.
Really?
Last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Cubs were the first to call him, and he's like, I get the money I want. I get a chance with a franchise that has far more resources than what the Brewers have shown in 20 years. And if I can win a World Series in Chicago, I might get into the Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I thought with the Mets, too. I figured the Mets, he could work with David Stearns again, and he could also have more money and exposure. But, yep, yeah.
Well, as it turns out, he never really considered the Mets.
Gotcha.
Well, all right, Mike, we got to go. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We will talk again soon, my friend. Stay close for the noon news, followed by the wonderful Todd Allbaugh Show. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, all of you, for listening and calling and texting. Very much appreciated. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on SmartMedicareSolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.